this technology working together would be all right. Yeah.
No, I don't even think about them. I don't even think whether they're on or not, working or not working. Thank you. Oh, goodness. Well, welcome back to our study of Matthew. We're in chapter 24. My face is red now. I feel it burning. Okay. As Jesus left and was going out of the temple complex, his disciples came up and called his attention to the temple buildings. Then he replied to them, "Don't you see all these things? I assure you, not one stone will be left here on another that will not be thrown down."
You know, this is where we are today. There's so much emphasis on the empires that men are building, on the buildings, the facilities, and all that. There's a legitimate need for some things, but you understand that what they're looking at was Herod's temple, which was a huge complex like you have today, and that captivated Jesus' apostles' attention. Just like the huge complexes and all captivate people's attention today, and yet it's temporary. And this is what we have to understand. We have to put our attention on what's going to last, what's eternal. It's not just on the natural, and this is what he's showing them here. Do you see all this stuff? It's not going to last. He says, as a matter of fact, there won't be one stone left on another. All this that you're seeing, these natural things that you're seeing, are going to be destroyed. And I'm telling you, you know, at the beginning of the year, the Lord told us that he was going to shake everything that could be shaken so that the things that couldn't be shaken would stand. The only thing that can't be shaken is the thing of the Spirit. The natural stuff will shake. You understand? But the spiritual stuff is not moved into shaking. And so if our foundation is built solid on the Lord Jesus Christ, what's going on around us is not going to shake us. It's not going to move us. You with me? Because it's not built on the natural. It's built on the Spirit. And this is where the Lord is trying to get our attention now, is get our attention out of the natural realm into the Spirit realm, to where God lives. In other words, I want you to live where I live. You lived with the world long enough. You've been in the bed with the world. Now come up here where I am. Start living where I am. Start thinking like I think instead of thinking like the world thinks. And if you'll think like I think, you'll talk and do like I think. Now the church has talked about what they wanted to do, but they couldn't do it because they've been living with the world. And God's calling for a separation. Jesus said this is going down. And I'm telling you, he told me that this religious thing with the status quo church was disintegrating. He told me that at the beginning of the year, or somewhere in there, in 2020.
While he was sitting on the Mount of Olives, the disciples approached him privately and said, "Tell us, when will these things happen? And what is the sign of your coming? And of the end of the age?" Then Jesus replied to them, "Watch out that no one deceives you, for many will come in my name, saying I am the Messiah."
Let's stop right there for a minute, okay? This interests me because they're asking him, when is this going to occur? You know, all this is going to be destroyed. When is this going to occur? And when are you coming? Now, this is an interesting thing because they're asking this question before he's crucified. Do you understand? When he's crucified and buried, they've lost all hope. But here they say, when are you coming? When is this going to happen? When are you coming? We're at a place right now in America where people have lost all hope. They think he's buried. I'm telling you, resurrection's coming. You understand? And so I just wanted to really make that point. And he said, don't be deceived. Many are going to come in my name. They're going to tell you, I'm anointed. Man, you're hearing it all around you. He said, they'll try to deceive you. There's a lot of things going on right now trying to deceive you. That's why you can't believe your eyes, you can't believe your ears, you can't believe your senses, they'll lie to you. You can't even believe your reason. Believe the Holy Spirit. Believe what God says. Believe what the Word says. Quit putting your confidence in men. Put your confidence in God. And you can't do that if you don't spend time with Him and hear Him and know His voice. Otherwise, you're going to be deceived. Okay?
Okay. So He does give that warning. Watch out that no one deceives you. For many will come in my name, saying, I am the Messiah, and they will deceive many. You are going to hear of wars and rumors of wars. See that you are not alarmed, because these things must take place, but the end is not yet. For nation will rise up against nation, and kingdom against kingdom. There will be famines and earthquakes in various places. All these events are the beginning of birth pains.
Do you understand that Jesus is prophesying? That what we're reading right now, what you're reading in red, is prophecy. And He's telling you, you're going to hear about wars, and you know, you'll hear about the rumors of wars. Don't let that bother you. He said, these things have to come to pass, but the end is not yet. I remember growing up in church, you know, it was the Cold War going on between the U.S. and Russia and all that. And then, you know, I was involved in the Vietnam War. And, you know, people say, well, the war's it's the time of the end. No, He said the end's not yet. You hear these things, it's not yet. Why haven't we read that? I've got that underlined in my Bible. It's not the end yet. And He says, nation is going to rise up against nation. Kingdom against kingdom. There's going to be famines. There's going to be pestilences, diseases, and earthquakes in a variety of places. He said, this is the beginning. Not the end. It's the beginning of sorrows. Okay?
Great. Okay. Then they will hand you over for persecution, and they will kill you. You will be hated by all nations because of my name. Then many will take offense, betray one another, and hate one another. Many false prophets will rise up and deceive many. Because lawlessness will multiply, the love of many will grow cold. But the one who endures to the end will be delivered. This good news of the kingdom will be proclaimed in all the world as a testimony to all nations, and then the end will come.
Now, this is, I think, a lot of this is dealing directly with His apostles that He's talking to. They're going to deliver you up to councils. You're going to be hated. Now, there's a parallel run in here, okay? There's a parallel it runs. You'll be hated of all men for my sake. In America right now, Christians are hated. Who would have thought you would see that in America? Who would have thought that the communists would take over America? But that was the whole intent of this election, to get a communist America. You know what a communist America is? Anti-God. Get God out of the country. And it's not just in other places. It's on our soil now that this is happening. Okay? And so He's telling them, they'll hate you for my name's sake. You're hated if you identify with Jesus. You understand? You see, in Acts, when Peter and John, after Jesus' ascension back into heaven, they heal this man in the name of Jesus, and then they get called before the religious council. Mm-hmm. Don't you use that name anymore. They don't care if you promote Buddha or Islam or Hinduism. They could care less about any other religion. But you hated for Jesus. Why? Because He's the only true and living God. He's the only God of power. That's why there's such a hatred toward Christianity, because the devil can't handle Him. Matter of fact, He's already defeated the devil, you understand? And the devil's trying to tell you that he's the victor, but he isn't. And he says, many false prophets are going to arise and deceive many. Man, I've seen that in my lifetime. These preachers are, you know, con artists. Get on the TV and they'll take your money in a second. That's all they're interested in. They'll talk about God. They just don't serve God. And they want to get you serving them. And he said there's a lot of these the false prophets, and they're trying to deceive. And because of the sin that is so increasing, it's abounding, it's excessive, he said the love of many is going to decrease. The sin increases, the love decreases. To where now you see children kill their parents, parents kill their children. The old dog-eat-dog world, you know, you get in my way, I'll get you out of my way, type mentality. No loyalty in the ranks, so to speak. This is an antichrist society. And that's why they want to get the Christ out of the way. He said that this, and a lot of people overlook this, it's not he who starts the race, but the one who finishes. It says, he who endures until the end will be saved. You have to endure to the end. You can't give up in the middle. Be not weary in well-doing in due season, you reap, if you don't faint, who through faith and patience inherit the promise. You can't give up. You have to persevere. And we're at a time right now where we have to persevere through some things instead of throwing in the towel. I do not believe in quitting. I do not believe in surrender. You fight till the end. You stand up for the Lord Jesus Christ. What if the apostles would have given up? The book of Acts wouldn't be there. The Spirit of God wouldn't have done all the powerful things through these men that He did if they would have, you know, got scared and run. This is not the time to get scared and run. There is no place for cowards in God's army. The armor that we have, that in Ephesians the 6th chapter, it's all for the front side, not the back side. You don't turn your back. You meet the enemy head on. With the Word of God, with the name of Jesus. That's our authority. That's our power. Then he says an interesting thing. This gospel of the kingdom, he didn't say the gospel about me. Now, don't misunderstand me. I'm not minimizing the importance of preaching the gospel of Jesus Christ. But that's not what he says here. He says the gospel of the kingdom. What kingdom? He's talking about the kingdom of God. This gospel of the kingdom, this good news about the kingdom of God, has to be preached all over the world, all nations. And when that is accomplished, then the end will come. I was reading this years ago, and I said something to the Lord. I read that. I said, you know, you said the gospel would be preached all over the world, then the end would come. I said, you know, the reports I'm hearing is that the gospel's been preached all over the world. He said, not the good news of the kingdom. He said, men have gone out and preached their own gospel. They haven't preached the gospel of the kingdom. It hasn't been done yet. And when it is done, then the end comes. So if you don't like what you're seeing, then let's do something different. Let's get our minds on the kingdom of God, and let's get proclaim the kingdom of God. Let's get about the Father's business. Talking about the kingdom of God, not the kingdom of the world. Quit talking politics. It's stupid. and start talking about God. God doesn't have politics in His kingdom. Jesus Christ is the King of kings and Lord of lords. And the way you operate in this kingdom is you hear what He says and you do what He says to do. And you'll live happily ever after. It's that simple. But we don't want to give our attention to God. We're looking for something complex, not something that simple. And yet the kingdom of God is a simple thing. Go out and tell them how this is a spiritual kingdom, not a natural kingdom. Stop thinking naturally. Start thinking spiritually. Live by faith, not by sight. Go out and get that message out. And that's the message we failed to present to the people. But we've learned. It's a different day. Amen.
Amen. So when you see the abomination that causes desolation, spoken of by the prophet Daniel, standing in the holy place, let the reader understand, then those in Judea must flee to the mountains. A man on the housetop must not come down to get things out of his house.
Well, let us stop right there for just a minute. You've heard the abomination of desolation. What's the abomination of desolation? I don't know, and you don't either. But this is what I do know. Abomination is disgusting. The abomination of desolation, the desolation is the thing that caused ruin. That abomination, and if you look at the definition of it, it relates to an idol, to something of this nature. It's a disgusting thing. When you see that disgusting thing that brings ruin in the holy place, that's what Daniel's talking about. This statement seems to be exclusively to the nation of Israel, because his next statement is let those who in Judea flee to the mountains. It sounds like it's something that happens in Israel itself. Now, we see a forerunner of this when Antiochus IV, Antiochus Epiphanes, that was the era between Malachi and Matthew, where the Maccabeans came to the forefront fighting against Antiochus, who was trying to destroy. He wanted to annihilate the Jews, like Hitler wanted to annihilate the Jews. You understand? And this family stood up and fought against it. But he made great strides, and he went into the temple of the Jews, and he offered a sow on their altar, desecrating the holy place. That they had temples. From time to time, they would have an idol in the temple of God. This disgusting thing, and what did it do? It made that temple unclean. It's ruined it. Now you can't use service. As a matter of fact, they had to go through the purification process before they could ever start offering sacrifices and all that again when these things would occur. And so when he's talking about the abomination of desolation, he's talking about something that is absolutely disgusting to God. And it's in God's holy place. He said, when you see that, then you better stand up and take notice, because things are going to happen quick. He said, if you're on the housetop, don't even come down to get anything out of the house. If you're in Judea, you're in the country of Judea, you better run to the mountains. It's going to be bad news. Okay? All right.
Okay. A man on the housetop must not come down to get things out of his house. A man in the field must not go back to get his clothes. Woe to pregnant women and nursing mothers in those days. Pray that your escape may not be in winter or on a Sabbath.
Now, here's another thing. If you look at this, he's telling you the urgency. Forget your stuff if you want to spare your life. You go back to get your stuff, and you're probably going to get killed. And a lot of people put a lot of value on stuff. So he goes on here, and he says, pray that your flight's not in the wintertime. That would be harder on you in the cold weather, the fighting the elements, not just in trying to get away from an enemy, but now you're having to come against the elements too. And then he says, woe to those who are pregnant, and woe to those who are nursing children. In other words, it's going to be very difficult on these people. And then he said, pray that it not be on a Sabbath day. This is law. This is people that are under the law, right? Why the Sabbath day? Because they could only walk so far on the Sabbath day. In other words, you couldn't get away. And so you better hope this doesn't take place on the Sabbath, because if it takes place on the Sabbath and you're abiding by the law, then you're going to go get so far. And you'll be overtaken by the enemy. That's what he's dealing with here. So this seems to be exclusively for the Jews. And he said, and except those days were shortened, no flesh would be saved. That's how bad it's going to be. Unless the days are shortened, no flesh will be saved. But, thank God he put the but in there, but for the elect's sake, he's going to shorten the days. Now, this appears to be talking about Jerusalem, pardon me, the Jews, Israel, the nation of Israel, if I understand it correctly.
Okay. Let's look at verse 23. If anyone tells you then, look, here's the Messiah, or over here, do not believe it. False messiahs and false prophets will arise and perform great signs and wonders, to lead astray, if possible, even the elect.
Now look at this. He's telling you, Jesus is telling you beforehand, that false prophets are going to rise, and they will be able to do miracles. They do the miracles by the power of the devil. You can read this in the Revelation, where that the prophet of the beast, what's he doing? He's doing miracles. He even calls fire down from heaven. If you're looking for miracles, the devil can oblige you, because he has a counterfeit. You understand? That doesn't nullify the fact that there are true miracles. And I believe we're getting ready to see a lot of miracles take place. And so the devil will try to counter that. Oh, I'm God. I'll show you I'm God. I'll give you a sign. I'll give you a miracle. I'll do something that'll captivate your attention. And the thing that bothers me is people today are focused on spectacular and don't understand supernatural. And spectacular can deceive you. God's doing things every day in your life that are beyond natural, but because it's not some spectacular thing, you don't think it's God. And yet, the devil can do some spectacular thing and you think it's God. Like David Copperfield supposedly making the Statue of Liberty disappear. Did you see it? Your eyes told you it disappeared. I watched it. Did it look like it disappeared? Yeah, that's called lying wonders. Lying wonders. I've heard people say, ministers say, well, the devil doesn't have power. That's a lie. The devil does have power. It's authority that he was stripped of, not power. Jesus said, all authority is given to me in heaven and earth. And then he delegated by saying, you go. So the only authority that the devil has in our life is what we give to him. And this is all encompassed in thinking. This is how Satan controls people's life. This is how he torments people's lives. This is how he tempts people, whatever. It's all in the thought life. He gets you thinking that he can do things that he can't do. He goes about as a roaring lion. It doesn't say a devouring lion. And there is a difference. And so what he'll do is try to talk you into believing him, so he can manifest himself through you. And it's going on all the time, all around you. People are more influenced by the devil than they are God. And I'm talking about church people. That's why it's a remnant. But thank God there is a remnant. And what we have to do is shut our mind off. Stop entertaining the devil. I'm telling you that here lately, it seems like it's every day I'm getting a phone call. Every day I'm getting a phone call. Two phone calls today. You're continually getting the phone call, getting the phone call. I said, it's your thinking, it's your thinking, it's your thinking. As long as you think like you think, the devil is going to have a heyday with you. And if you start thinking like God, you will not overcome the devil. And thinking like God is in agreement with the Word of God, the Bible. Now, I'm not even talking about denominational handbook. Don't go by that. Go by the Word of God. What does God say? But people want to entertain all these thoughts. And you know what they'll do? They'll take you in a wrong direction. They'll get you oppressed, depressed. They'll get you mad enough to slap somebody or kill somebody. You get thoughts in there and they'll tell you to go steal or do all kinds of crazy stuff. That doesn't come just in an instant. It comes by meditating on it. You're entertaining the devil. And to overcome the devil, you have to refuse to listen. I've done that with people, haven't you? I don't want to hear what they're saying, so I won't listen to them. Well, you have to learn to do that with the devil. And I'm telling you that I have as many opportunities to listen to him as you do. Because he'll come every day. Trying to bring something at you, to try to discourage you, and all this type stuff. And you've got to immediately counter that. You can't entertain that thought for a second. You counter that with the Word of God. And if you don't counter it with the Word of God, that thought is going to consume you, and all it's doing is looking for an occasion to manifest. What if we would meditate on the Word of God and what God says and let that manifest? Then you would see all these wonderful things you're wanting to see take place. If we would spend time meditating on God, listening to the Holy Spirit instead of demonic spirits. And the spirit of the world is demonic. That's why we all had to be born again. To get rid of that ungodly nature. God wants us submitted to Him, listening to Him, overcoming the world, not succumbing to the world. Okay? I probably got off on a tangent, but that's all right.
So he says, take note, I have told you in advance. So if they tell you, look, he's in the wilderness, don't go out. Look, he's in the inner rooms. Do not believe it. For as the lightning comes from the east and flashes as far as the west, so will be the coming of the Son of Man.
Let me say something to this, just to give you a modern day thing. If they say he's here in the desert, you know, this is going on in the evangelical world. People will drive 1,000 miles to hear a particular preacher. Well, do you think God's not here? You know, if you would take the time to listen to God, you would get your need met right here and save yourself 1,000-mile journey. But people are following people. They're following these gurus, if you will. When they say, oh, did you go to this place? Did you go to that place? Did all this happening here and all that happening there? No, I like to go upstairs and just get before God and get in the presence of God, and God speaks to me there. I don't need to go to Canada or Florida or California or any other place. Get your mind on God. Get in the presence of God, and God's presence will manifest itself in you and through you. You understand? So don't go with this, well, he's over here, he's over there. The truth of the matter is, if you are born again, He's in you. So why are you going somewhere to find God? And this is what Jesus was saying, look inside, look inside, look inside. Start communicating inside. Quit looking out here. You're looking at a natural world. Start living out of the spiritual world. God's in you. Jesus lives in your heart. The Holy Spirit's in you. Start listening to the Spirit of God. You with me? Don't pay attention to all that other stuff.
Wherever the carcass is, there the vultures will gather. Isn't that the truth? Immediately.
That's interesting. That,
yeah, it is.
I mean, we could go to different places. You know, he talks about the coming of the Son of Man is going to be like the lightning from one part of the sky to the other, from the east to the west. How long does it take lightning to go across? I mean, it's quick. And that's what he's telling you here. And then he says where the carcass is, that's where the eagles gather. Right? You don't go where there's not something that you can feed on. Now that's a message in and of itself right there. Mama used to tell me that talking about people had a buzzard's appetite. They're always wanting to feed on refuge, on gossip, on problems and criticizing and all these other things just to keep something going under the surface. That destroys a church. That's the devil, and they'll stand up and give their tremendous testimonies, but they're under the influence of the devil. I said they're under the influence of the devil. I didn't say they were demon-possessed. Some of them may be. But at best, they're still under the influence of the devil. I want to be where he is, and he's going to come where we are. You understand? He's going to come where the body of Christ is. He's not coming for some decaying body. As a matter of fact, I read in Ephesians, the 5th chapter, it's going to be a glorious church. No spot, no wrinkle. You understand? That's what he's coming for. We're the ones that get ourselves into position to iron the wrinkles out and get the spots out. Ephesians 5:26, with the washing of the water of the Word. We take the Word of God, we apply the Word of God to our life, the Word of God will clean us up. If we'll listen to it. It's not enough to read it, you have to apply it. You read for application, not just information. Okay? And then that Word cleans us up. Then when He comes, we're ready. I don't have to concern myself about when He's coming. What I have to concern myself with is preparation. Being ready, it doesn't matter when He comes that I'm ready. Or where He comes, or where I am, I'm ready. I'm listening. He's coming for those who are looking for Him. Read it in Hebrews, my chapter. He's coming for those who are looking for Him. People are looking for everything but God. We need to get our attention on it. And I'm not talking about just looking for Him to come in the clouds. Every day of my life, I look for the Lord to manifest to me. I'm looking for revelation. I'm listening to the Lord. I want the Lord to show up every day. You with me? But He's not going to show up if you're not looking for Him. There may be an exception to the rule. Don't misunderstand me. But we have in our subconscious mind that I want to be in the presence of the Lord. I want to be where the Lord is. I want to know His ways. I want to know Him. And when you're doing that, you're opening yourself up. Now, there's a literal coming. I'm not refuting that. But back many years ago, the Lord spoke this to me one morning as I was praying. He said, my people have their eyes so fixed on the eastern sky, they're going to miss Jesus walking through the front door. And that's exactly what's happened. God's in the place, and they're like Jacob there at Bethel. God's here, and I didn't know it. And that's the way it is in a lot of places. God shows up, and people don't even know God was there. They just thought a man preached and God was talking to them. And they didn't even know it was God talking to them. because he chose to speak through a man. We better be alert and start listening for the shepherd's voice instead of men's voices. Start listening for the voice of the shepherd. Okay? Okay.
Now might be a good time to stop.
Do we have time for one verse? Or where are we?
29. I want to talk about the buzzards just real quick.
Excuse me?
I want to talk about the vultures real quick. We've got just a few minutes. In the last 3 days, I have seen swarms of buzzards on different occasions. Have you all ever seen that before? It's a little unsettling to see. And this morning, I saw a whole slew of them gathered in an area. And my mama said, buzzard buffet. And I was thinking of, I've been thinking about that. The world will set up a buffet. You know what a buffet is, right? There's lots of different choices. Usually great, big, long areas, tables or whatnot. But then I got to thinking about what the Lord has promised us. He told us that He would set a table for us.
There's the presence of our enemies.
Yes.
They can't do a thing about it.
And there's a world of difference between a table being set up, for those of you that set a table before, and a buffet. So I was just, I'm pondering on the difference between what the world can offer and what the Lord offers us. And there's probably a good message in that, and I'll let the Lord reveal it to you because He's revealing it to me. But those buzzards have caught my eyes on two different occasions. And my first instinct is, that's not right. I see it and I think, that's not right.
I'll say go with the table he prepared.
Yes.
Amen.
Mm-hmm.
All right. Time's up. So, Father, I thank you that you bless us indeed. You enlarge our territory. Your hand's with us to keep us from evil so that we do not cause pain. You bless us and keep us. You make your face to shine upon us. You're gracious unto us. You lift up your countenance upon us to give us peace. So, Lord, we invite you to rise up. Let your enemies be scattered. Those who hate you. Before you. Amen.
Amen.
You guys have a great week. Eat at the Lord's table.
Yes.
Amen.
Yes.